Gather round. I'm glad everybody came out tonight.
Bitch, you guess it. I'm still with my nigga. Come and test us.
Keeping it lit. Me and my click.
Welcome in. It is time. Week one is fast approaching. Week one is tonight. NFL starts tonight. Carolina, Denver, one of the many matchups we're going to talk about. We go over all six matchups tonight in our pod. We bring in Andrew, Tim Fronick, and Philip also making appearances. Oh, man. We got a lot to cover this week. Let's get right into it. Spoke with Andrew on Tuesday about three matchups. Three pretty important matchups, actually. Three interesting matchups. Enjoy. Andrew, how you doing?
I am pretty good. Spent a weekend in Portland, so nice and relaxed. Super hungover. Ready to do this.
Still hungover or, like, recovering the hangover?
Oh, no. Still hungover. Looking at the results from that White Guy League draft and wondering where the fuck my tight ends went. Feeling good. Getting ready for the rest of the week.
Well, I'm glad. I mean, you must have had a great night if you're still hungover, I mean, at 7:30 on a Tuesday.
Well, you know, it was for all the mothers going through labor yesterday. I had to pour some out for them. You have a good weekend?
It was a pretty relaxed weekend. A lot of college football, for sure.
Oh, yeah. A lot of college football, not enough Dave Matthews.
Absolutely. So let's get started with our matchup previews. Let's start with this first one here, Amerikanzie Gangster versus Silence of the Michael Sam. This matchup is one of two that gets roommates paired up against one each other. We know a lot about this from our days at the Palace. Things can get pretty heated between roommates on game day. Projected line is 120.5 to 117.2 in favor of Brandon. This is the first matchup where we see two of the top four wide receiver groupings, I think, go up against each other. Luke's finally got a tight end in Charles Clay, and then Brandon's looking like he's going to have to sit Jamal Charles. Late night, he's got Carson Palmer and the Cardinals going against New England. What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, you said it. It's really, really looks good with the wide receivers. Probably the best matchup that I've seen. The way I set up my previews is really I took one player from each team and said this is going to be the make or break player, in my opinion. For Luke, actually for both of these guys, the make or break player, in my opinion, is going to be one of the wide receivers, but it's not the the AJ Green, Sammy Watkins. For Luke, it's Golden Tate. That guy's been killing it in the preseason. He's been looking really good with Matt Stafford. He's got that good, the Matt Stafford Golden Tate matchup together. So if they go off, I think he's going to have a really good week. Whereas for Brandon, I think the make or break player is going to be Eric Decker. They love him at the goal line. He's going to get a lot of deep balls and a lot of the short stuff at the goal. But I'm worried that Matt Forte is going to take some of the, or I mean, I hope that Matt Forte is going to take some of the goal line carries and touches away from him. So I think, yeah, it's going to come down to the number three wideouts. You know, number one and number two on both teams are going to go off. I'm not sold on either of their running backs. So I really believe that it's going to come down to Golden Tate versus Eric Decker, with the advantage going to Luke. I like the Matt Stafford Golden Tate matchup. I think he's going to ball out like he did this preseason and show us something pretty good that you don't really expect from that Lions offense.
Yeah, well, I mean, talking of quarterback wide receiver matchups, that was something I was going to get into when we talk about my matchup with Austin, because he's got Drew Brees and Brandon Cooks. Absolutely, Golden Tate is going to be a weapon. I mean, he's the number three receiver and he's a number one receiver in a Detroit offense that is just going to want to throw the ball.
Exactly, and they're going to be losing. They're going to be losing a lot. They're going up against Indiana, who's going to have a great year.
Indianapolis.
Indianapolis, like, you know what I mean.
I guess, yeah. And then I've looked at the matchups, the opponent rankings. Luke's the advantage there. His only red number, I guess you could say, is Gio Bernard against a tough Jets defense. But then again, it's Gio Bernard and Jeremy Hill. You get that split. Who's getting the carries? Whose week is it? Who's going to do what? D'Angelo Williams has played the role of starter while Le'Veon Bell is suspended, so I think Pittsburgh knows kind of what they're going to do this week. And then defenses, how good is Jacksonville's offense going to be? How good is the Packers' defense? Packers' defense projected 9 points. I think that's pretty high. I'm assuming they're ESPN's thinking a lot of sacks, maybe a couple picks from Bortles, but I'm seeing a pretty high offensive game in that matchup.
I agree. I like Bortles this year. I don't think it's going to be anything, obviously, compared to something like New Orleans or not Indiana. I don't know if they're going to put up the same kind of numbers that would give the Packers or that would give at least the Rams that much of an advantage over the Packers. Nine's a big one for the Packers D, they're an unassuming defense. They get it done. They get the job done. But it's going to be a high scoring game. It's going to be a high offensive game. A lot of thrown balls, which means a lot of opportunities to pick off Bortles. So I think my advantage is still going to, is going to go to LA on this one, only because they're up against San Francisco, and they have something to prove.
Yeah, going on the Rams defense, I'm guessing Brandon's pretty hyped up on that, watching them on Hard Knocks. I know I was hyped up on the Texans defense last year when they were on Hard Knocks. But, I mean, you got to like a strong Rams defense going into this season already. And then you're taking on an absolutely nobody offense in San Francisco. They've got Carlos Hyde to run the ball, and he might be hurt with a concussion. They're honestly, San Francisco could have no weapons, their best weapon being Colin Kaepernick, who's on the bench.
I don't know if this is too bold of a prediction, but do you remember the Arizona San Francisco game last year? It was the day we were at your place, and Arizona just walked the fuck all over San Francisco like nobody's business.
Was this after my grad party and I was like dying in the bathroom?
That's the one. Yeah, it was a little later in the day. Jared and I were listening on the drive home.
I do not remember that game very well.
Colin Kaepernick had to have been picked off 10 times against a good defense like the Rams. I don't know if I can expect that much, but I'm expecting something close. It's going to be a slaughter. Maybe 3, maybe 6 points put up by San Francisco. If that, I could see a shutout. I could see a 10-point game from LA coming into week two.
Yeah, that's going to be an interesting one. And Monday night, everyone's going to be watching. Carson Palmer, does he still have anything left in him? I mean, he's getting pretty old up there. Brandon's also got the QB wide receiver hookup with Larry Fitzgerald, also getting really old. I mean, I believe if these two can stay healthy, this duo is going to end up working out pretty okay. I just don't know, these guys are getting so old. I don't know if they can still perform at this level.
Yeah, he's got something left in him. He's got something left because he's got three great weapons in the Browns, and then he's got Fitz. It's going to be another great year for Arizona, and I like Carson Palmer coming into this season. They have a great pass-catching running back. He's going to put up big numbers. He's coming off arguably one of the best seasons of his career. And I see a lot of potential from Carson Palmer, despite his age, despite the fact that none of the receivers are in that Odell Beckham, A.J. Green range anymore. But there's still huge names that are going to put up big numbers week after week.
Yeah, put up over 20 points 6 times last season, averaged 19.3. I just, He looks a lot older than 36. He's had two knee surgeries, and he feels more like a 40-year-old quarterback that's kind of fading away than he does a quarterback that's, you know, mature and still kind of showing his worth.
I completely understand where you're coming from. It makes a lot of sense. I don't know if we're going to see the old Carson Palmer, at least in the beginning of the season. I want to hope that they're still riding that great year they had from last year. They're coming in with a fire blower, and they're ready to play some big games, put up some huge numbers, throw the ball a lot. So I think they're going to throw the ball a lot. And whether or not he completes, you know, 60% or 20% of his passes, you put up numbers like that, and you're going to get some big games.
ESPN has the game going to Brandon. Who do you like in this matchup?
I like Brandon. I'm sorry, no, that's a lie. I like Luke. I like Luke in this matchup.
Good save.
it's Monday-ish. I like Luke. I still think that Matt Stafford, Golden Tate, is going to be a bigger advantage than Carson Palmer, Larry Fitz.
All right, let's move to my matchup now. Bend It Like Beckham Jr. versus the $6 million McManus. ESPN is projecting this one 115 to 108 for Team Auto Draft. Drew Brees going up against Oakland's defense, projected to be 0.1 higher than Cam Newton going up against the Broncos defense on Thursday night. That's 18.3 to 18.2. Austin has the other back in the two-headed duo of, you can't call him a monster, of Jeremy Hill. Newly acquired wide receiver Brandon Marshall is questionable with a hip injury. Coaches think it's not going to hold him out of week one. While I'm working with the leftovers of the most fucked up release and re-signing situation I can ever remember after the Ravens decide to cut Forsett only to re-sign him, I'm screwed at flex, I think. My rookie trio of Henry, Thomas, Fuller is nice to have, but none of them, I think, are worthy of starting at this point. And it's looking like I'm going to have to go with Seattle's two-headed running back duo of Rawls and Michael. Fuck the Ravens. Andrew, what do you think about my matchup this week?
Your matchup is exciting. It's going to come down to exactly what you talked about, the flex with Christine Michael and Thomas Rawls. Are they going to do the running back by committee? I read somewhere today that Michael's going to get that number one job. But Thomas Rawls is going to take so many carries away from him. At the same time, it looks like a similar situation out in Philly. Is Ryan Matthews going to get the carries that you would expect from a number one running back? They're in a weird situation with that quarterback deal. Carson Wentz was clearly not going to be their starter a couple days ago. It seems like there's chaos out there as far as the offense is concerned. I hope to see a big year from Kenyon Barner, Kenjano Barnes, taking carries away from Ryan Matthews. So I'm not entirely sold on either of these running backs as a good option for flex. It looks like running back by committee, but I think I'm going to have to give the advantage. Fuck, I haven't really looked over this one. The advantage to probably, I don't fucking know.
Yeah.
Probably. This is a tough one. Yeah, this is tough. I don't know. I would say this is a toss-up for me.
Michael named the starter, and Pete Carroll is continually saying Thomas Rawls will get carries in the game. It's essentially his third preseason game, so they're saying, let's get you game ready. And then they're at the same time, they're saying, yeah, but Christine Michael is going to get a lot of the carries too. I mean, I'm absolutely glad I have both running backs, and I'm slightly glad I don't have to deal with Justin Forsett at the same time, because then I'm debating, do I want to play two running backs that essentially are one running back, or just Forsett on his own at flex and possibly leave a lot more points on the bench. Again, let's get into the Breeze Cooks connection. That's double points against the Raiders going up against this week. It's a home game for New Orleans. I see Oakland's offense absolutely taking advantage of New Orleans' bad pass defense. I really like Amari Cooper this week. I think he's going to have a big game. And that means that New Orleans is going to have to pass, and that means bad news for me since Brandon Cooks is the number one receiver.
Right. What you're going to lose out with the double point situation in the Breeze Cooks matchup, I think you might make up with the Rawls Michael. New Orleans is going up against a really good defense. They're going to pass a lot. Breeze is going to put up a big game, but I think I think it might even out a little bit since Seattle really has been pushing that run first defense. Beast mode gone. They're going to do committee, but the fact that you have both of them is looking a lot better than like what you said, leaving one on the bench and possibly losing out on a ton of points. Not sold on Lacey. Got to see how he bounces back from last year. But yeah, the Breeze Cooks is could be something huge to worry about for you.
I'm also worried about the Cincinnati New York Jets game. Austin's got Jeremy Hill, Brandon Marshall in that one. Hill, again, it's like a toss-up. It's like the Rawls-Michael situation. Who's getting the carries and when? And then Brandon Marshall, it's when is he getting his targets? Are they going to go with the run game more at the goal line? Will they go to Eric Decker more? Who are they going with? That, to me, is something that it bothers me. I don't know why. I got fucked over last week, week one, by the both pair of Jets receivers when Duncan had them. And for some reason, it worries me now, week one again.
Yeah, it was such a fluid offseason with so many moves. Like, I like Forte going over to New York. That's a huge question for that great duo of wide receivers. Are they going to stick it out with him? Are they going to give him? They're going to give him carries over receptions taken away from Marshall. Are they going to give him passes? Are they going to look towards those guys at the goal line? That was a huge factor in the trade that I made with Austin, giving him Marshall instead, or giving him Marshall to get Hopkins. I was worried that of the same thing, and I didn't feel like the same situation would happen out in Houston. It'll be interesting to see how it works now that they have that stud in Matt Forte, who can do a little bit of everything on the field, especially in goal line situations, where they haven't necessarily gone with Marshall to begin with.
Yeah, I'm also going to be interested if Austin maybe backs down from his big claim that Ryan Matthews is going to be the best guy that we're all going to wish we had by week three, and maybe starts rookie Corey Coleman that he just traded for with Pip. Interesting when we talk to Pip later what he thought of that trade, and you know, has he given up on Tyrod Taylor? We'll get into that later. It's interesting, you know, you could bring in Corey Coleman, but looking at his bench, Doxon questionable, Deion Lewis out, Tom Brady suspended. He's starting everyone that he's got in this auto draft team that we were all like feeling bad for and laughing at, suddenly is projected to put up 115 points. And, you know, possibly could beat me week one.
I can't stress it enough. I'm not sold on the Philadelphia running back. There's a few teams that I will never draft a running back from, and that'll be Philadelphia and New England. And he's got two running backs, or he's got a running back from each of those teams. Even the Cincinnati situation, I don't like the two big name running backs. And even though Sproles isn't looking like he's going to put much up this year, they're still going to take carries away from him. Cleveland's going to put a ton of pressure on Ryan Matthews because they know that they know they're starting Wentz, and they know that hasn't been the plan for the past couple months. So that pass offense is going to really have to pull through to make sure that the run game has some stable ground and has something to go with. It looks like really both of you have focused on the running back by committee with the Cincinnati, the Philadelphia, New England, and Seattle.
I mean, I wasn't purposely going after running back by committee. I thought for sure Rawls would be the number one. Have Michael as a backup in case he gets hurt so I don't have to spend money on the waiver wire. But and Austin, I mean, didn't even get a chance to draft. But, yeah, ended up with a bunch of guys that are 1-2s and they're 1-1A kind of thing.
Exactly. And I was shocked to hear that. I didn't expect Christian Michael to be a name that you would recognize in Seattle this year. So I'm excited to see how it'll play out. I think just because of how great he was filling in for Lynch last year, Rawls is going to get the start, and Rawls is going to prove to be the number one. But who knows? Christian Michael could come out there and take all of his carries away by the end of the season. It'll be interesting to see how that plays out for both of you.
Final note, I fucking hate the Ravens. You guys are the worst. Who do you like in my matchup here?
Gotta say, I like Austin. I know I kind of bashed his team a little bit last week in the podcast. Still haven't had a chance to listen to that, but I like
Jackass.
I like Austin in this. Rick?
Yeah?
Oh, hi.
Oh, okay. I just said jackass at you, and then you stopped talking.
Oh, I didn't hear the jackass.
Well, I called you a jackass. We'll edit that out in post. Go on.
No, you can leave it in. I don't really care. I like the more I talk about it, the more I look and kind of analyze it. Like, I really only got a couple minutes to look at all the matchups before we did this. The more I look at it, the Breeze Cooks thing, like you said, they're going up against the Oakland defense, and they're going to need to put up a lot of numbers in the pass game. Now that what's his dome is in is on the Vikings, maybe Stephon Diggs could come up big. Not entirely sold on him, but if Philly keeps Ryan Matthews as the clear number one and avoids that running back by committee this year, I think Austin is going to pull up and take this one.
So in summary, you don't like the parts of Austin's team, but as a whole, you think it's better than mine.
Yes.
Wonderful. Now to the final matchup that we'll discuss. It is your own matchup. How about that? Dude Wears My Car versus A Rivers Runs Through It. Your matchup has you as a 12-point underdog, Andrew, in this game, and it's mostly because of the matchup that Jared has at QB and running back. That's Russell Wilson going against Miami, Todd Gurley going against the Niners. Those are the number one QB and number one running back projected scores for week one. Meanwhile, your team is going up against a lot of red numbers for opponent rankings in that column. Walk me through your matchup. I know you've spent a lot more time looking at that one than mine.
I fucking love Philip Rivers this week. This season. I love him this season. I generally don't love him. I love him this season. I'm excited to see how he uses those new weapons. He's got a lot of great guys to throw to. We know he loves that tight end combination. Now he's got two. He's got the best, hopefully still the best in the league, and the best new pickup of a tight end this season. I love Rivers. I think he's going to have a huge year. I liked AP a lot more 2 days ago. I liked him when Bridgewater went down, but I still like him now that Bradford's in town. And I think those two guys are going to come off pretty damn close to Wilson and Gurley. I like AP against the Tennessee defense. I like Gurley against the San Francisco defense. It'll be interesting to see who comes out with bigger numbers. Delanie Walker for me is going to be huge. I'm picking him up in every single draft that I do. I love Delanie Walker. And obviously, I got to love DeAndre Hopkins. I was really happy to end up with him after that trade. Amari Cooper's going to have a great game. He's going to have a great season. That's going to help Austin, Jared out a lot. But who are my key players for this? Let's see. My key for my team was Adrian Peterson. I know it's kind of cliche, like him, the number one, my first round pick, perform up to his abilities, how is that team going to react with a new quarterback coming in a couple weeks before the system, or before the season, into a new system. I think Jared's key player is going to be C.J. Anderson. Kind of the same situation. How is that run game gonna work with Trevor Siemian coming into the game? If he's gonna jizz all over the place and just throw the ball like a motherfucker, or are they gonna stick to that stick to the run game that you saw a lot with Brock Osweiler? I don't know how it's gonna work with Devontae Booker. I haven't really been following the team a lot. I think that's his make or break player. As AP is mine.
Yeah, I'm really hoping for you. Matt Forte gets a lot of scores, has a big game against the Bengals defense, which is big for me, and that Brandon Marshall gets less touches, and also it hurts the Bengals defense. You've got the Raiders defense. We talked a little bit about that game with New Orleans. Obviously, the Raiders defense is very strong, a lot of potential. Are you worried that a shootout maybe hurts you in the long run this week?
Oh, yeah. Definitely. I've been thinking about streaming a defense for this week. The Saints are a great pass team. They're a great offense. I'm looking into other defenses just for the week, but all in all this season, especially in that conference or that division, I like the Raiders defense. Khalil Mack's a fucking beast. That defense is really going to make or break whether or not they come out above someone like Kansas City to win the AFC West.
All right. What else do I got here? Oh yeah, Frank Gore. Jared's starting him at flex, projected 11 points. He's starting him over some bench players. Let me look at them real quick. Chris Ivory, Jacksonville, Kamar Aiken of Baltimore. Couple guys that are questionable on his bench. In the long run, I mean, do you think Frank Gore is this finally the year that we look at Frank Gore and we go, okay, we expected him to finally, fall off? Or do you think somehow he puts up big numbers again?
I think this is just another year where we expect more from Frank Gore than he's going to give. Kind of the same thing that happened the past couple seasons with C.J. Spiller. He's coming into the season, you're expecting something huge from him, and he just disappoints. And that's what happened last year with Frank Gore. Yeah, he had one or two great games. I'm going to look at his numbers. I remember just constantly being disappointed with him. He put up a huge game week 16 against Miami. He put up a huge game week 13 against Pittsburgh. But otherwise, it was just kind of average. He's that boom or bust guy. He puts up huge numbers. Like, he'll put up a 22-point game, and then he'll put up a 5-point game. And I don't see him getting any better this year than he was last year, especially now that Andrew Luck is going to be back in the offense. They're going to be throwing it a lot more, and it's going to be picking up in that pass game, taking carries away from him.
It might be a little silly to ask, but who do you like this week?
I like Phillip Rivers this week. I like my team. It's the widest point margin. But I think my team's got a lot to prove in Phillip Rivers, Matt Forte, and Adrian Peterson, three of my top guys coming in kind of with something to prove. Even though, AP is like a clear starting running back, he's going to be working with a new quarterback. It's going to be a new system. It's going to be weird for that team. I love me some Chargers.
Yeah, we know. So this week, take Andrew in the 9.1 points he's laying as the underdog. Last week it was Jordan telling you who to bet on in Boston College to win the ACC. This week it's me telling you all to put your money on Dude, Where's My Car? Team name for this week so far.
Yeah, team name for this week. Like I said last week, I'm going quality over quantity this time. Last season got pretty sloppy. I ended up with some big embarrassments. But this year it's not going to be as frequent, but I'm hoping to get some good ones. And I have some good ones for White Guy League that I'm excited to bring out.
All right. Well, maybe spend 2 hours not working on team names to listen to the pod, you asshole.
I'll give that a shot. I tried to get that on the airplane this morning, and decided to take the 2 hours of sleep instead. It's a plan for the rest of the night. It'll be on. I'll be checking it out. Looking forward to hearing it, and yeah, looking forward to hearing what you guys all think.
Picking sleep over the pod, Andrew is officially the softest one in the group. Thanks for talking to us, Andrew. I hope you'll listen to this pod when it comes out on Thursday, which is tonight.
You bet. It comes out tonight, not Thursday.
Dude, it's for the effects. When you release it on Thursday, you'll be listening to it that night.
I don't want to play this game. I don't want to play this game. Tonight's Tuesday. I've been thinking it's Monday all day. I don't need this in my life. I would listen when I listen.
All right, that's three previews down, three to go. We welcome in now Tim, Nick, and Pip to talk about the final three matchups that they're all a part of. How is everyone?
Doing very well. How are you all doing?
I'm doing great, thanks.
I'm doing awesome, but in mourning of Tim shaving his beard.
Yeah, it was a sad day this morning, but had to be done, unfortunately.
You didn't full shave. Like, this isn't like 5 o'clock shadow.
No, I put on a guard on my little razor and I had to keep a little bit there, you know, but...
Yeah, it was looking a little puby, though, so, I mean, mine's looking a little puby. I got to shave it.
Yeah.
Well, I mean, you're with the pube king and Rick, so, I mean.
Yeah, seriously.
All right, let's move on. The first matchup we're talking about is Caddyshack Williams versus Daemaerys Targaryen. No, that is not a burn on Duncan's name. That's a Game of Thrones reference. Jordan, get your shit together.
Yes.
Tim comes into this matchup a 7.5-point favorite. Leading the way is number one pick Antonio Brown and Aaron Rodgers, both projected over 20. But from there, the projections drop off a bit. Five of his remaining eight players are only projected in single digits, but he does have the advantage of a full roster. Jordan has decided not to start a kicker, not even have one on his roster. This is beyond Jordan copying Luke's strategy of everything when it comes to fantasy. As even Luke knows, you've got to start all 10 players to have a chance. Jordan does, in my opinion, have the number two receiving core in the league while deciding not to start Allen Hurns on his bench. Tim, what do you think of your own matchup here?
Well, first of all, is he actually not going to play a kicker, or is he just waiting until the last minute to decide who the best guy to pick up off the waivers is? Because that just doesn't make any sense to me.
He legitimately doesn't have a kicker. I don't know why.
Well, I mean, if he wants to just keep all of his, you know, bench players with a bunch of receivers and running backs, that's fine. I mean, yeah, obviously I have the advantage now that he doesn't play a kicker. If you take my kicker off, I think we're projected close to the same amount. I actually made a change this morning. I had Tyler Lockett in as my flex, and I changed to Tajai Sharp. My main reason for doing that, Kendall Wright was ruled out for this week's game. That's now one less receiver that Marcus is going to be throwing to. He's showed in the preseason that Sharp is possibly already his favorite target, aside from probably Delanie Walker. I think Sharp's going to find his way into the end zone at least once in this game coming up. I really like my matchup with Jordan this week. I think some of his players have tougher matchups than mine. I think, let's see, Johnson against New England's defense, Langford against Houston, and Allen against Kansas City. Those are all tough matchups. Although I'm not really looking forward to Matt Jones going up against Pittsburgh. I don't know how well that's going to go, especially since he's still questionable for the game. So I don't know. We might both have nine players in this matchup. We'll see what happens.
Yeah, wow. I mean, the running backs for you is just kind of weak, because especially they're playing Baltimore, which, I mean, Baltimore's still got a pretty solid D-line.
Who's playing Baltimore?
LeSean McCoy.
Okay, I see what you're saying. Never mind.
So, I mean, David Johnson and Langford, I'd take those two over McCoy and Matt Jones, but I think you got them with the wide receivers because you got Washington and Houston and Detroit defenses against Carolina, San Diego, and Kansas City. So, I mean, a little bit of wash with the wide receivers, except for the Keenan Allen, where he's playing Kansas City. Kansas City's got the pretty good secondary that they had last year that's returning, I think, with Eric Berry. So I think it's pretty even, actually. It should be a really exciting matchup.
I was going to say that for me, the best, I think Luke versus Brandon is probably the best matchup. But this one's going to be really interesting. What I think Jordan's going to do, he's waiting until Sunday morning to drop one of his end bench players and pick up a kicker, so nobody can pick up some guy to put in their roster, before the game start. So that's what my thinking is, and if whoever he puts in a kicker, it's going to be a close matchup anyway. I'm going to disagree with Fronik. I think that Jordan has the advantage at wide receiver for sure. Despite probably having harder matchups, I have no faith in Alshon Jeffrey and Dante Moncrief personally. Definitely not Jeffrey, but I know Fronik, you know, you have a little love affair with Alshon.
Oh, you know it. I mean, but think about it, though. Antonio Brown, Alshon, and Dante Moncrief. I mean, Moncrief, he's going to be in that three wide receiver set that they're going to be running a lot with Andrew Luck. And then you got Antonio Brown, who's just, like, the god. And then Alshon Jeffrey, who, you know, he is, like, the god point two. You know, he's just the bomb.
No.
Yes.
No.
You stop that.
I'm kidding.
Alshon Jeffrey does worry me just because Jay Cutler, you just never know how he's going to do. But I don't understand your concern about Moncrief. I feel like he might get more targets than anybody on that Colts receiving this
game. T.Y. Hilton?
I mean, obviously T.Y. Hilton's the better player and he's the number one option, but in terms of PPR and actually getting the short catches, those might go to Moncrief.
I mean,
I agree. I think Moncrief is a good receiver, but I would not take him over. I mean, I would take Demaryius and Macklin over Jeffrey and Moncrief. I mean, obviously that Brown is going to, you know, put up his points, but my thinking is that Jordan's three receivers are going to have a better week than yours, Tim.
Well, if that's the case, I'm probably screwed because I also feel like he has the edge in the tight end and the flex over me this week. So,
yeah, I would agree with that. I'm not sure about Barnage. I mean, Barnage was really good last year. We'll see what he's like with RG3 in there instead of whoever their quarterback was. It Manziel and McCown and last year?
Yeah, it was mostly trash. McCown, I think. Manziel didn't play a whole lot.
Yeah, well, I think that's a wash. It's a wash of the flex. I think running backs are a wash. I don't like Langford. I said that last week, but I don't like Jones either. But Tim, you definitely have the advantage at quarterback. I mean, Aaron Rodgers is the best quarterback. Top three quarterback in the league, and then Jordan has some, you know, like Down syndrome, Eli Manning is a quarterback. So
yeah, Down syndrome at best.
Yeah, I was going to mention that. I mean, Aaron Rodgers, he's playing against Jacksonville this week, so, I mean, he's got to give me, you know, mid-20s this week for me to be happy about his points.
Yeah, I would agree with that. But it's going to be really, really close. Although I'll say that, and you know, one of you is probably going to score like 63 points, and the other is going to score 120. But I hope it's close.
I think Pip,
the excitement factor.
I think a good point though with the wide receivers is you got to remember who's throwing to him. Like he was saying about Jay Cutler. I mean, he's got Andrew Luck and Big Ben throwing to his two wide receivers as well. With, you know, Jay Cutler, well, I mean, he's okay, but he's not, you know, Alex Smith, who's retarded, and then Simeon, whoever that guy is, you know, the seventh round pick.
That's true.
Whatever. I mean, a lot of the wide receivers, you know, you can be a great wide receiver and be on a shitty team and not put up any points.
Keenan Allen.
No, that's a.
Yeah.
That's a great point. I mean, that's why I stayed away from Demaryius in the draft, was I didn't want, you know, whoever is their quarterback, Simeon, to. I mean, he still
Did you
will put up
Seaman?
His points.
You like Simeon?
He'll still put up his points because he's number one, but I don't know if he'll be, I mean, he'll be nowhere near as good as he was with Peyton.
Yeah.
Yeah, to me, this kind of comes down to flex. I mean, a lot of the positions are washes and fall over, even though Tim is projected, all three of his receivers will outscore Jordan's. I don't see that happening. And Tim, I do like you going with Sharp at flex over Lockett. I just like your flex move there. Over Marvin Jones. I mean, Detroit's going to throw the ball a lot, but who are they going to? I feel like Stafford in his first game is going to rely a lot on Golden Tate more than anyone else.
Yeah, you're probably right. That game does scare me. I saw that the over-under is like 51 or 52, which I think is the highest of any matchup. So, I mean, they're expecting that game to be a shootout. And if it is a shootout, I'm hoping Moncrief gets the catches. He's going to be hoping Marvin Jones gets the catches. So I guess we'll see what happens. That's going to be a key game for our matchup.
Picks? Who you guys have?
I'd probably say Tim. I actually agree with the projection, probably by five, just because, I mean, the defense, Philadelphia D is not that great, but the D line, I think, will be able to, you know, force some turnovers against Cleveland. Kansas City, I don't know about San Diego's offense too much this year, but, yeah, I do agree. The wide receivers give Tim the edge, probably.
Yeah. One interesting stat I would like to bring up. I have never won a week one matchup in our league. This year, I break it, and I'm going to get the win by 8 points.
Okay. Pip?
Wow. Well, before I make my pick, I just want to say Jordan has a great bench, looking at his bench, but that doesn't mean anything in fantasy football. I'm going to take – I'm going to pick Tim by 6.9. And nice. It's all because of Aaron Rodgers. Better than Eli.
All right.
Yeah.
Our next matchup we're going to talk about tonight, Darius Hayward Harambe Watch versus Full Hauschka, the second closest projected matchup for the week between two roommates, but ESPN has Pip winning all but three positions. Pip has recently traded for Blake Bortles, but still sticking with his boy Tyrod Taylor, while Scott has successfully not added Brandon LaFell and kept both of his great tight ends away from Luke's sticky hands. Let's jump right in. Pip, what do you think about your game with Scooter a week later?
Yeah, well, like I said, I talked about this last week. I think it will be very, very close. It's two even teams, in my opinion. I think Spencer Ware getting the start is definitely a boost for me, or likely getting the start. I don't think Jamal Charles is going to play much, and Charkhendrick's still injured. So Spencer Ware might get up to 20 carries against San Diego's defense. Which would really, really help me a lot. And hopefully, if Kansas City is up by a lot, then Woodhead will get a lot of catches in the passing game. I'm sticking with Tyrod just on the matchup. I think Baltimore is a worse defense than Green Bay's is. And I want to, you know, guarantee myself kind of a good start. And Tyrod Taylor's got a pretty good floor with his rushing ability. As for Scott's team, Carr's going to put up points against New Orleans.
Mm-hmm.
I think where I have Scott, an advantage over Scott, is that wide receiver. Allen Robinson is you know, top 10, top 5 receiver. But Edelman without Brady, Benjamin, I mean, I don't know about Travis Benjamin. He's going to be the number 3 option. Maybe even number 4 in San Diego, but behind Woodhead, Keenan, and maybe even Melvin Gordon. So I think it'll be close. Also, the Patriots D up against Arizona. I mean, that's not an easy matchup against a team that, you know, can put up a ton of points, like Arizona put up a lot last year. So it's gonna be close, but I obviously think I have the edge. Over Scott. Oh, what about you guys?
So I'm going to talk for a minute. So I definitely like that you put Ware in there, like you were saying, especially with the other two guys probably hurt and not playing in that game. Dez Bryant, I think he's probably worse off than Allen Robinson in this matchup, but I agree. Edelman without Tom Brady and Benjamin, I just don't feel comfortable with either of them giving him good points. Greg Olsen's got to be one of his, you know, best players on this roster, and he's got a tough matchup this week. So I don't know. I mean, if I was Full Hauschka, I might even play just one of those tight ends and go with a guy on his bench, although I don't know who the guy on the bench would even be. Maybe Willie Snead or something like that, but I definitely would go with Pip probably in this matchup.
I mean, I don't know. It's kind of a wash when it comes to the running backs, but I think you have the edge slightly just because you put in Spencer Ware. DeMarco, you never know. I mean, we don't know what we're going to get with him this year. Allen Robinson, I really like. Scott, give me a trade. I want him. Dez, I don't know. Anytime anyone ever picks him, you know, ever in the first, second, third round. He never comes through. Landry, I like him and Cobb better than Edelman and Travis Benjamin. I agree. You know, those quarterbacks. Tom Brady out. I don't know what's going to happen with that. But I do have to agree. I like Greg Olsen a lot, and I do like Kelsey. So I think I'm going to give the edge to Pip this week. Spencer Ware, fun fact, San Diego was 32nd against running backs. They gave the most points up to running backs last year. So Spencer Ware could have a big day.
So for me, this comes down to Danny Woodhead at flex for Pip. If I think it's going to be really interesting to see how Danny Woodhead is used. If he's going to prove himself to be clearly better than Melvin Gordon, then he's going to get a lot more runs with the ball as well. And Pip's got Arian Foster, Miami's recently named starter, on his bench as well. So, I mean, that switch in at flex would also be a pretty good move. But obviously Woodhead with the half PPR has got to be the reason why you're starting him there, right, Pip?
Yeah. I mean, the thing is about Woodhead, I don't know. Who owned Woodhead last year? Was that you, Rick?
No.
No? I can't remember who owned him, but
probably Jared.
It might have been Jared. I mean, he is the definition of boom or bust. So I am pretty worried about him, to be honest, over Arian Foster. But Foster coming off the injury and against Seattle's defense.
It was
Jared.
And maybe splitting carries with Ajay still until he's, you know, until they're 100%, you know, sold all in on him. I don't know if I could take the risk on Arian Foster. So Woodhead to start the season, and we'll go from there. But yeah, I mean, Kansas City's got a good defense, so they're both going up against good defenses. But I think Woodhead just gets a little bit more points, and hopefully he can go off for a little bit more or a lot more than Foster and help me crush Scott.
Yeah, and what Tim brought up is going with the two tight ends. I think that's the best play for Scott this week. You look at his bench, he doesn't have a lot of good options there. Like, going with two tight ends was kind of the game plan, and I mean, when you draft two tight ends that early, you kind of have to go with them because you miss picking up on guys. Willie Snead is like a 3 or 4 option. Kenny Britt, who knows how he's going to be. Robert Woods is a toss-up. I mean, it's not Travis Kelce is your best bet at flex over any of those other guys.
I mean, Scott is disciple of Bill Belichick. You know, he likes that two tight end set, you know, pretty much. I mean, watch out, Kelce. You might be, you know, wanted for murder, but that two tight end set is just interesting to watch, though, with this fantasy. I don't know.
I think it kind of hurts to look at Scott's bench, honestly.
Yeah.
Sorry, Scott.
I mean, Robert Woods hasn't been good since SC, and
yeah.
I don't even know where Kenny Britt went to college. So,
Tim?
One Kenny thing that worries Britt. Me, Pip, this week is your boy Derek Carr. I think he's going to put up a lot of points, and it's going to be bittersweet for you as a Raiders fan.
Yeah, I know. That is hard for me, but that's kind of why I picked up Sebastian Janikowski, because if Oakland scoring touchdowns, at least I'm getting some extra points, and they're going to be moving the ball, so hopefully they're in the red zone a lot, and maybe if they stall out, Seabass can get some nice 30-yard field goals for me. So, I mean, who knows? I think it'll be close. Derek Carr will for sure outscore Tyrod Taylor. But I think I can outscore Scott everywhere else to overcome that.
Yeah, I think if Tyrod Taylor has a good game, you've got it in the bag. Because I think overall you have the better matchups this week. And just the better team overall.
Oh, thanks, Tim. That means a lot.
Yeah, I know it does. I know I was a little hard on you last time, so I'm going to ease up this time.
Yeah, you were shitting on me. But aren't you glad I got out went out and got a second quarterback now?
I am glad, and I like your pick as well.
Yeah, walk us through that trade with Austin. The second team that he's traded with, you trade to kind of hurt me by adding Corey Coleman. How did that come together?
Austin's sent me a few trades in the past. He might have actually sent me Bortles for Coleman. But he just sent it to me, and I thought about it, and I hadn't been – I mean, I was the last person to take a quarterback in the 10th round. I took Coleman, and Bortles was taken, and they were both taken in the 10th round. I figured I didn't really have too much to lose. I mean, Coleman could be a number one, but he could also be a rookie flop. And Bortles, I can now swap him in and out with Tyrod, depending on the matchup, and I feel like they can both put up a good amount of points. So I thought it's definitely more risky for me. I mean, for Austin, in my opinion, that trade makes so much sense for him. I mean, he can't play three quarterbacks anyway. You just play Breeze for 4 weeks and then put in Brady. And you trade away Bortles. He got a number one receiver on paper. And, you know, he'll put him in because he didn't have any receivers. So I think that trade makes 100% sense for Austin. And he really can't lose unless Bortles, you know, is the best quarterback in the league this year. I don't think Austin can lose from that.
All right. Good stuff. So everybody kind of is leaning Pip on this one, but are those our everyone's official picks for the week for this matchup?
Yeah.
Yes, sirree.
I'm taking Pip by 6.9 again.
6. The lucky 9. Number.
Yep, 6.9.
And finally, it is Hoaxback Mountain versus Marcus and Rex Recreation. Duncan's team is the most all over the place I've ever seen. A lot of Seahawks, a lot of former Ducks, and injuries all around. Not to mention his third wide receiver is Atlanta's number two guy behind Julio Jones, and he has to start Melvin Gordon, but it's not like he has many other options to go with. Fronik, I'm sure you've got a lot to say about your team. Please let us have it.
All right. So I said last week I don't believe in luck. Well, I'm going to go back on that because last year was all about luck because, you know, I had the best team, one of them.
Sure thing, dude.
I'm just kidding. No, I think my team's pretty good this year. I mean, I think everyone's kind of correct. It's kind of a boomer bust team this year. Not too sold on the running backs. Carlos and Devontae could kind of go, you know, either way.
I can give you Sean John if you want.
Nope, I don't need him.
Okay, sure. Don't pick up your backup to your starting running back. Okay.
I mean, I just don't want to give up Funchess, you know? I'm sorry. Yeah, I think I got a pretty good matchup this week. Sorry, Duncan. But, yeah, it's looking good to go 1-0. But, I mean, you never know. I got some good matchups. You know, Roethlisberger is going to have Washington. We got Devontae and Carlos playing against Tampa Bay and LA's defense. LA has a good defense, but I think they're a lot better, like, on paper than they are actually, like, you know, in games a lot of time. Kelvin Benjamin, he's got a tough matchup. And plus, he's coming back from that injury, so I don't know how good he's going to be. I've even considered, you know, putting in Funchess over him. But John Brown, it's kind of tough, too. Crabtree's going against New Orleans, so I expect a pretty good game from him, especially with Carr. You know, I think him and Carr and Amari Cooper are going to be going pretty off. Rob Gronkowski. I think even though he's going against Arizona's defense, I think he's the reason why I went, you know, number one pick with him. So I think he could have a big game. Sterling, he's everyone's darling. So pretty solid guy.
Everyone's darling, huh?
Dude, everyone wants him, dude. Everyone wants him. Sure, even I want him, you know. Right, Pip?
Have you received a lot of trades for Sterling?
Yeah. And about 15 of them from Luke. But
and have you...
Were they all for Jimmy Graham?
Jimmy Graham was included in some of them, but no.
Was it like half?
I mean, yeah. He's been trying to get a tight end, so he's been trying to give me Jimmy Graham or trying to give me Ladarius Green or, I don't know, some shitty players.
Jay Ajay, or however the heck I can say that guy.
Hey, I'm...
AI.
I've got at least three trades for JHI and Jimmy Graham.
Yeah, yep.
Yeah.
For
one
of my starters. But yeah, no. No thanks.
Also, last note, Carolina going against Denver. I really like the, you know, going against that quarterback. I don't know how he's going to do his first start ever. So we'll see there.
Oh, for Panthers defense. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. I was for some reason thinking about Kelvin Benjamin, and I was like, that means nothing.
I'm just going down my team and
right. So yeah. Give us your Chandler Cantazarno. What do you think about your kicker then?
That kicker from Arizona, yeah. I mean, going against New England's defense, they got a pretty good secondary with McCourty and Butler. So, I mean, they might stop him at the 20, and then they kick, you know, 3-4 field goals.
So if they even get to the 40, we'll see.
I said 20.
Oh, if they get to the 20.
I think, yeah. I mean, we'll see. Yeah.
Yeah.
Keep my fingers crossed.
For my thoughts on you for this season and this week is, how good is Sterling Shepard? Like, how many targets and catches is he going to have? Because he could get completely shut out and not have a single look. I've had Giants receivers in the past, not Odell Beckham, and it's not fun to play them.
You've had Reuben Randall in the past.
Reuben Randall couldn't even make that Eagles wide receiver concourse. So, I mean, that says something. But Sterling Shepard's going to be the number two on a Giants offense that's going to be pass-heavy. They're, you know, doing a platoon with the running backs, and everyone's in camp been talking about, you know, Sterling Shepard. He's not like the best route runner. I mean, not the best, you know, fast. He's not so fast and everything, but he's really good hands. And, you know, with Odell having, you know, double teams, you know, I mean, I feel like he's going to have enough targets, enough open, you know, targets kind of thing for him to grab the ball.
I just don't like you starting him over Devin Funchess, who, you know, he has a rapport with Cam Newton. I have to start essentially a rookie in Kevin White, and I don't feel great about it at my third receiver, and you starting one at flex. Like, I would much rather wait a week on a rookie that might go boom or bust and see what's going to happen and start a guy who had a big year last year and was a number one receiver as a flex. I mean, I don't know.
Well,
that's just me.
Can I chime in on that? I mean, he could start Funchess at his flex, but then he's got both Carolina wide receivers going up against the defense that won the Super Bowl last year.
Thank you,
Pat. I don't think that would be the move at all. I mean, looking at these two teams, I can't really complain about the lineups that they've chosen. If I weren't going to play Sterling Shepard, I would play Sproles, but I think Shepard is definitely the better play over Sproles. I mean, why would you want to put a pass-catching running back in your flex, right?
Right, yeah.
But no, I think I would be not happy putting in Benjamin and Funchess. I don't think that would be a smart move at all.
Yeah, the only move I've thought about changing my lineup would actually be switching in Funchess for Benjamin, only because they've actually talked about in camp how good Funchess has been and how Benjamin has been a little bit slow to kind of come back from that injury and condition. You know, his conditioning has been a little slower. And they've even said, you know, Funchess could be like a number one option for them at times because he's roughly the same size. And, you know, who knows? He's almost as explosive and stuff like that. So we'll see. But, I mean, it's still not a great matchup going against Denver in that secondary.
Yeah, I've read that too about Funchess, but I don't think you can really justify that. I mean, you drafted Benjamin in, what, like the third round. I mean, you got to start your studs week one.
Exactly.
So... yeah, what about Tim? What do you think of this matchup?
Yeah, this is probably one of the hardest matchups for me to predict just because there's so many question marks, I feel like, on both teams. I mean, you guys have already mentioned Shepard. I don't know how he's going to do. Kelvin Benjamin, it's his first game back in a while. Jordy Nelson on the other side, his first game back in a while. Ezekiel Elliott is a rookie, and he's going to be carrying the load. I don't know how that's going to go. It's a really tough call. I think Nick has the edge in most of the matchups, especially his third receiver, Sanu versus Crabtree. I mean, I think Crabtree might be Nick's best receiver this week.
Yeah. I mean, it's just...
with that matchup, for sure.
Yeah, exactly.
Especially, yep. Yeah.
And Sanu, I mean, he's, what, the third option in Atlanta? And he's starting him?
He's technically the number two receiver. I'm guessing offense would roll Julio, Devontae, and then Sanu as an option.
I always thought Vincent Jackson was ahead of Sanu on that roster.
Vincent Jackson is on the Tampa Bay Buccaneers, so that would be very different.
That would be different. Well, there you go. Clearly, I didn't do all my homework I was supposed to do, but either way, a lot of question marks here. I probably would give the edge to Fronik just because I think he has a few more staples of guys that I think are definitely going to put up good numbers than Duncan does.
Yeah. I mean, there's some question marks for me especially, but I'm really scared with Andrew Luck and Ezekiel Elliott. I mean, he's got to be better than Darren McFadden, right? And he's playing against New York Giants defense, which they invested, what, like $200 million in the offseason, but I mean, how good are they actually going to be this year, you know? So I think those two could be the difference makers to make it a little close. I think I could win, you know, by like 16, 17 kind of. But I'm so questionable with my team that it's, we'll see.
I'm leaning Pronik too by a good amount, maybe even 16.9.
nice.
But
perfect.
Yeah, it's, I'm just looking at Duncan's lineup, and I mean, Luck, yeah, you probably know what you're going to get from Luck. Elliott will probably put up good numbers. Stewart is a tough matchup.
Yeah, I don't like Stewart in that matchup at all.
It's a bad time to pick Stewart in the draft, too. He's way reached on him.
Yeah, and Jordy coming off injury, you know, he hasn't played that much. He might not even played at all in the preseason. Doug Baldwin, I mean, it's crazy to think that he was the 8th ranked receiver last year with 14 touchdowns. That's just ridiculous to me. I mean, he scored what, 13 of them in the last 6 weeks of the season. So I don't think Baldwin's a number 2 this year. I don't think Mohamed Sanu should probably be on an NFL roster. But, I mean... He's on the Falcons, so, I mean, it's like being in AAA. And Dwayne Allen probably will put up some good points this week. But I think Pronik has the edge on that.
Yeah. Yeah, I mean, Detroit, he's got that double point system with Allen and Luck, and that's the only thing that kind of scares me a little bit because, you know, say they go for 2 touchdowns for, you know, Dwayne Allen against Detroit's defense. Their secondary is not that great, so...
But yeah, he's the 4th option, though. You got to realize that.
Yeah, that is also true.
If they're in the red zone, I mean, Frank Gore is going to get the carries, and T.Y. and Moncrief are going to be the receivers he'll look at first.
Yeah, they'll probably toss it up, you know, a couple fades, though, to Moncrief. So, good news, Tim.
Yeah, I mean, every play is a fade.
Yeah.
Every play is a fade.
Got to get faded.
It has to be a fade.
Hashtag faded.
Yeah, I mean, Duncan's receivers are... complete toss-ups. Dwayne Allen barely even played last season. He's not even 40% owned. Seahawks defense against Miami is probably going to be his second highest score behind Andrew Luck. Melvin Gordon's not good, but I mean, he doesn't have anyone really worth starting on his bench. So it's kind of shit out of luck here for Duncan.
Well, yeah. Duncan will probably be that team that just storms through the regular season, though. You never know. You never know, especially going into the season. I mean, this whole thing is mostly luck anyway. And he has luck. Andrew Luck. So,
Pronik doesn't believe in him.
I actually rescinded that comment from last week, so yeah.
Well, I mean, last season, everyone thought Duncan's team was bad, and then he beat me by, like, a point because of a fucking field goal on Monday Night Football or some shit like that. So, I mean, it's... He could easily pull an upset, but...
Well, we got some salt over here for you.
I'm angry.
Yeah, you're salty.
Rick, didn't you finish in last?
Second to last, technically.
Wow.
ahead of?
Scott. I beat Scott in the Constellation.
Well, okay, yeah, but in the regular season.
Yes, that was last place, but the Constellation bracket means something to me.
So then Duncan technically should beat you, right? Or should have beaten you, since you were the worst team.
Maybe. I wasn't the worst team going into week one, I thought, but apparently I was.
Maybe you just spend too much time being commissioner and podcast leader that you just don't really pay attention to your team and you suck ass.
Yeah, for all the time I did podcasts last season, it really got to me. Yeah.
It's okay, though. I was third to last year, so I'm right there with you.
I was number one in my heart.
You were number one in no one's heart.
My heart.
All right, let's get our picks in. Pronik or Duncan this week? Let's start with Pip.
Pronik by 16.9.
Tim?
I'm going to be different, and I'm just going to go with Duncan, just because there's so many question marks, because we've all picked the same teams this entire podcast, at least this half of the podcast. So I'm going to say Duncan pulls the upset. Because
All right, I'm going to switch to Duncan then.
All right, sick. Then I'm going to go Duncan. Just so they're all the same, dude. No, I'm actually going with me. Too many question marks for Duncan, more question marks for him than my team. So, I mean, I've got a lot of question marks, but
and
so with him.
If, like you said last week, if Sterling Shepard is the next Odell Beckham, you're in for a real treat this year.
I didn't say he was the next Odell Beckham. You just, whatever.
Well, he could be. We'll see.
All right. That's going to do it for us this week. Enjoy football. It's back. Tonight or tomorrow. I don't know when I'm going to put this pot up, but enjoy football. It's back. Thanks, everybody.
Sweet, thanks.
Catch you late.
Bye.
Hashtag gay.